Our Old Testament reading for today is taken from Genesis 18, verses 1 through 10. And the Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, and bowed himself to the earth, and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, while I bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, Do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah, and said, Quick, three seahs of fine flour, knead it, and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, Where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, She is in the tent. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle for today is Colossians 1, verses 21 through 29. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, today's reading is a fun day to say, you know, this isn't about serving and volunteering, so don't worry, leaders of boards here. I'm not going to say you don't need to serve and volunteer. It's okay. But Jesus does say not to be too worried about service here today. We have Mary and Martha. It's the first time, it seems, that they are meeting Jesus. Jesus is entering into a village, and A woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary. This is all happening. It seems like it's the first time, at least, we're hearing about it in Luke. Very likely the first time Jesus is meeting Martha and Mary, who will be with him throughout his ministry. And during this time, we get to see a story that has ended up on different t-shirts and mugs, I think. I've seen several Christian t-shirts. It says, "In a world of Marthas, be a Mary." And so, that's okay. I'm not denigrating that t-shirt if you really love it. If it's your favorite t-shirt, you can keep wearing it. However, I feel it's a little unkind to poor Martha. It's okay. See, this is a story that is about service and about heart posture. Where is your heart? What's going on? And service does play a big key. In our story, Jesus just happens to be coming through a town. In this recounting, I shouldn't say story, in this historical event, Jesus is going into town. Martha sees him and welcomes him and his group into her home. Where Jesus is going at this point, it's not just one guy. He's got his disciples. It's a whole group, a whole crew. Come to my home. Rest your feet. Let me prepare something for you. And they happily do it. And Jesus comes in and he continues teaching as he was outside, but now inside. And Mary, who is there, says, "Well, I want to hear about what's going on too." So she sits down at Jesus' feet, and they're all there listening to Jesus. Martha, who has done this great thing to welcome Jesus and the whole crew into her home, who knows how many groceries she got. She's hoping she can scrab, you know, enough things together to put some food on the table, and let's take care of our guests here. She's working hard to make it happen because she recognizes that Jesus is important. Perhaps even, as we hear later, she says that she knows he is the Lord. At this point, she knows at least that he is an important individual who she wants to serve and care for. Give them a moment's rest. And Jesus, who has said time and again that he doesn't even have a place to rest his head, that he doesn't have a place to put his feet up, he accepts her gracious gift, goes into her home, and just continues his ministry. So Martha's back there furiously preparing food as best she can, taking care of him. And she's working hard, and she looks out there, "How's everyone doing? Do I need to refresh their drinks? I don't know." And she sees Mary sitting there on the ground, and she's, "Come on, Mary." And so she's back there working, and she's preparing food, and she's doing the best she can. And she looks out there again, and Mary's still sitting there. And she's like, maybe trying to like catch her attention, like, "Come on, come help me, come on, get over here." But Martha keeps doing it. Maybe she brings out a tray of food, sets it down, and looks at Mary. Goes back to the kitchen. It goes on for a while, and she eventually comes out, and you know, Jesus is in between talking, and maybe they're just milling around. And she says, "Now, Jesus, won't you tell Mary to get back there with me? I mean, she's here listening to you. She's not listening to me, apparently. I've thrown her all the signs. She's not listening to me, Jesus. Would you tell her to come back here and help me serve?" Now, Jesus gently corrects her. He's not, you know, punishing her. He's not throwing out a big consequence. He's not trying to put her in her place. You read Martha, Martha, and you wonder, what's the voice that's said in, right? Is it similar to, you know, like Marcia, Marcia, Marcia? You know, is it Martha, Martha? No, I think it's more of a tender, gentle, "Martha, Martha, it's okay. You are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. You're anxious about all of this. You're anxious about the food and about the preparation." Notice he's not saying, "Oh, that's bad. It's bad if you have been serving us." He's not saying that, but you're anxious about this. But only one thing is actually necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion. He even uses food language here, right? Mary's grabbed the last turkey leg on Thanksgiving. We can't be angry at her. It was there. She enjoyed it. She's chosen the good portion to be with Jesus, to sit there and to learn from this man who both she and her sister Martha knew was an important man. who they would come to know was not just an important man, but indeed God as well. Martha, thank you for your service. I'm not going to take away what Mary has. Mary has this opportunity and she's taken it to be here with me. You know, God bless Martha for wanting to serve Jesus in this way. Again, I told you, this is not just one man. It's a whole crew at this point who've come to her house and she wants to take care of them. And that is a great thing to do. That heart of service is in fact what Jesus has come to teach us about. We'll get there in a moment. At the beginning, the posture of her heart is good and right to want to serve Jesus, to want to serve those who are with him, to serve those who are following him. This is a great thing to do. But perhaps you've been there where you're doing something, a long project. Maybe even it's at church and people are milling around, enjoying talking, and you're cleaning up chairs or you're helping in some fashion, and it's a great thing to do. I don't know if this is your feeling, but this was mine a couple of times before, where I'm cleaning up after church and people are talking and having a good time, and I'm like, oh, you know, I'll put away these chairs. It's not a problem. Not here, by the way. Don't worry. You guys have been very kind. I also don't get a chance to go put away chairs because you're all so kind to talk to me. But as you're doing the service for a long time, this thing that you started to do with good intention and a good heart, a great heart posture, as it goes on, you're getting kind of tired. It's a long job. You're wondering, why is no one helping me? And maybe your heart starts to turn a little bit from that posture of joyful service to being one of a little bit, I don't know, a grouchy heart, we'll say, saying, why isn't anyone helping me? Come on, get over here. Why does it always feel like I'm the only one doing this work all by myself? Of course, that's in our worst days. That's not always the case. I'm very happy to say that we continue to serve in so many ways without grumbling. But if we're being honest, it's happened before, maybe once or twice. That grumbling that happens in our own heart and our own mind. It's good to know that Jesus here does not strongly rebuke, but gently corrects our heart posture. It's okay. You're anxious about many things. One thing is necessary. The service is happening. That's great. Thank you for your service. If you need to take a break, that's okay too. One thing is necessary. That good portion that Mary was already enjoying is not the service that Martha is providing, but the service that Jesus has given to his people. To you and to me. Again, the hymns that we sang this morning as our hymn sing are all great, but also I love that we got to sing a Christmas hymn that I would not normally have selected for today. But what a great thing for us to remember. Jesus was born and he did come for the purpose of serving us. Jesus, God, came down from heaven that he might be born as a baby, live a perfect life, suffer and die in our place that he might serve us. It is good and right that we provide service to him and to his people, to this world, to our neighbors. But it's also good to remember that the one thing that is necessary is that Jesus Christ has served you. Hearing his word, being blessed through his Holy Spirit, being blessed through his very body and blood, coming to Jesus Christ, sitting at his feet, as we heard in our children's lesson. This is the one thing that is necessary. It's good to remember that we hold this truth. Jesus Christ is the one thing necessary. And yet service to our neighbor and to our God is also important. The way our lectionary gives us these to work on, it kind of chunks up books of the Bible that are meant to be put together. This comes right after the parable of the Good Samaritan. If you're just reading it all the way through, you're being reminded, it's very good to serve one another. And also, there's really only one thing that's necessary. It's not that the service is bad. Jesus just said the service is good. But also, don't be anxious about the works, the things that you feel need to be done in service. The one thing necessary is to remember and to preach and to share that Jesus Christ, the one thing necessary, came to serve you. We even make this truth known in how we talk about what happens here every Sunday. We might say, oh yeah, I'm going to go to the worship service at 9:30. We say worship service, and some people might have the understanding, perhaps you have too, that here we serve God through our prayer and our praise and what we do to show devotion to God. That's the opposite, though. One thing is necessary. Not your prayer and praise to God, serving Him. When we come to this worship service, it's because in worship, God serves us. We are the ones being served here. We get to sit at the feet of the cross. We get to receive Jesus' words. We get to take in bread and wine that is body and blood. We get to start the service in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, which reminds us that our old self has died in baptism and we've been given a new life, which is Jesus's. He came to serve you and me. And then, just as we love because He first loved us, we serve because He first served us. That right heart posture, why we serve, why we do these good things. We don't do good works to earn merit before God in heaven. We just sang about that in our Reformation song. The Reformation still lives. We don't earn any merit before God through good works. He already loves you as much as He's going to love you. He loves you fully and completely. He's already made you His child. And He sees in you that perfect life that Jesus lived for you. We serve out of love and gratitude with a correct heart posture. So those times when we are serving and we're tired and frustrated, perhaps we need to take a break or a moment, but know that our heart posture, which so easily shifts, when it's focused on us and the work we're doing and how tired we are, we sure get more grumbly and feel more tired. When we serve, knowing that our God serves us and loves us fully, well, that just gives us more energy and rejuvenates us. Remembering that our God loves us. Remembering that we have the one thing necessary, the one who served us already and continues to do so daily through sending His Holy Spirit to us. And so, in a world of Marthas and Marys, be both of them. They're great. I like them both. They're nice in the story. We're thankful for them. Continue to sit at the foot of Jesus. Continue to come and hear His word. Receive His blessings. Continue also to serve it joyfully, knowing that when you serve your brother and sister, when you serve the community, you're continuing in the same work of service that our Savior Jesus Christ has set forth for us. We get to serve. We don't have to for salvation. We do it because we are saved through Jesus Christ, the one thing necessary, in whose name we pray. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Now go with God's blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you His peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.